I thought about trying to do some sort of State of the Union address today instead of a sermon. As many of you know, we are going through another round or another season where people are leaving. And these are people who matter to us. These are people who are sweet, friends, dear members of our community who have contributed a ton of wonderful stuff over the years. I could start to list off people, but then I would feel bad for those who I don't mention. And some people have left us several years ago, and it still hurts. And we still miss them, and we love them. And I'm aware that when people leave, it is very easy for us to feel like, what is wrong with us? And then start to feel kind of insecure and hurt, maybe even betrayed, whether or not we should feel that way. And then start to kind of fall into this victim-villain thing where we go, yeah, but we love the Lord, and we know we've been seeking Jesus, and I know that I'm trying to please the Lord, and then in our minds it becomes, we're the good guys, so they must be the bad guys. And I just want to speak right into that today and say, we're not doing that. Please don't do that. We're not going to be saying somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And if you hear that from anyone, please say, hold on, it's more complicated than that. There was a time when Paul and Barnabas, who had been ministry partners, parted company. And amazingly, God doesn't seem to spank either of them or stop using either of them or stop blessing the saints and saving the lost through them. The Holy Spirit is poured out on both Paul, who then connects with Silas, and they go forward, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on Barnabas, who takes John Mark, and he goes forward. Resist the need to view somebody as a heretic or a bad person or a phony. Just resist all that. Those are temptations of the enemy to get us to do something with that anxiety and that insecurity that rises up when people part company. Am I making any sense?
Yes.
This is a great opportunity to contact those people and love on them, to contact those people and pray for them, and to release them to do what it is that they believe is right. Here's what I know. I am going to do what I believe is right, and they are going to do what they believe is right. Why would I ask anything else? Would you respect anything else? I know that it's hard for humans to disagree well. Even harder for Americans. Seems three times as hard for Christians. I don't know why. Protestants especially. I mean, the word Protestant comes from the word protest. The word denomination means to unname something. To dename it. This is what it is. Nuh-uh. Here's who the Lord is. Nah. So we do have this sort of built into our spiritual rooting as Protestants, this very big tendency to demonize those with whom we disagree. Please don't yield to that temptation. Bless and honor. I don't know how much I can say on that. I'm tempted to say very little, because I feel that people deserve to be able to answer for themselves. You don't know what's going on inside of me. You don't know who I am until you have access to what's in here. And you can't have access to what's in here unless I give you access. And I don't have access to what's in you unless you give me access. So resist the urge to try to evaluate what's going on inside of somebody else right now. Honor. Embrace ignorance. Embrace mystery. Focus on Jesus and his goodness. There was a Sunday where the Lord said to me, I need you to release my people. I need you to release my people, Tim. Not everyone knows it, but I really love you people. Well, some of you know. And the Lord said, I need you to release my people. And then I got pictures in my mind of faces, specific people. And I'm trying to dial down, trying to calm down. Alexis was one of them. Other people. I need you to release my people. Tim, I have need of soldiers on the front line of the kingdom. And when I have need of soldiers, I will call on them. And they're going to leave, whether you like it or not. But if you don't think differently about your relationship to the people, if you don't think differently about this thing. He said, Tim, pastors have a little flock mindset. I have a kingdom vision. And when I have need of someone who is in your fellowship, who has strength, where I need strength over here, and I call on them and I move them to over here, it's a win for the kingdom. But if you don't release them, I'm still going to take them. But it will tear something in you incorrectly. And you're not going to make it unless you learn to release my people. That was so hard. I wept like a baby that morning. I sobbed. And you all probably didn't even notice. And that's good. I hope you don't get too distracted by me on Sundays. I want to say the same thing to you now that the Lord said to me. Sometimes things shift. We go through seasons where other people feel called to specific things, and this might not be the best place for them to pursue those things. Sometimes we come into places of disagreement where believers can think differently, and they might not feel okay anymore going where we're going, and that's okay. We don't have to succumb to this sort of shallow human thing of somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong. Why can't we be brothers and sisters in Christ with a way bigger vision of the kingdom? We got all kinds of people, so we need all kinds of churches.
Amen. Yes.
Would I like everyone to stay here forever and never leave? Yeah. But that would kind of be like an airport that was really excited about how many airplanes they got huddled on the ground. That's a failure. We got a word from Brian Connolly at the beginning of the year, I think, that said we were going to plant churches and send people out and do all this. I didn't anticipate it would be against my will. It's not how I pictured it. You know. A number of people are landing at a wonderful, I don't even know how to say this the right way because people could think that I'm not being genuine. A lot of folk who are leaving are landing at a wonderful church named Greenwood Mennonite Church. And I kind of feel like sending them a little, your welcome note. We've just sent you some really wonderful people. Wow, awesome. And I want that kind of interaction to be what's happening. Not what's wrong with us. And then looking at them differently. Is anyone catching what I'm trying to throw down today?
Yes.
Is it hard? Are you crying? Are you questioning why? Me too. I had a beautiful interaction with Bobby on Tuesday where we encouraged each other and prayed for each other. And next week they're going to communicate and we're going to pray over them a blessing. And one person asked me, it's happening again. And I thought, it's not the same. It's not the same. We've learned some things. We're honoring each other. We're leaving on healthy terms. There's not acrimony. I don't feel acrimony. Acrimony? That would be like hatred or anger or like unforgiveness. Really, like you can't see the person's face without feeling hostility rise up, or deep hurt rise up, or the sense of betrayal rise up. I'm not feeling that personally, and if you are, if you are feeling those things, I want to beg you, please come talk to me. I want to pray with you. The gospel is the power of God to free us from that stuff, and the power's here. The victory is here. Jesus' death and resurrection. We can love well. We don't have to let hurts in our lives make us something less than love. We can be free. We can love everybody. We can honor everybody. We can see past these human things and see the value of the person in front. I'm preaching now. I wasn't going to do that, but until I flip the switch. Okay. I want to pray about what I've shared here, and then I want to transition to more of a sermon. Is that okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we invite you into this process that's happening in our congregation and in our community. And we commit ourselves to love. We commit ourselves to honor. We commit ourselves to direct communication. We commit ourselves to health in our relationships and health in our thinking. We commit ourselves to renewed minds that do not entertain judgment against anyone or even ourselves. We commit ourselves to lift up the name Jesus and to learn what this means to love in the midst of disagreement so that the world will finally say, oh, someone's home. There's a light in the attic. God, we commit ourselves to sacrifice. We commit ourselves to taking up our cross. We commit ourselves to laying down our lives for you and finding them in a brand new way in your kingdom. Amen.